To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a boat cruising beneath a setting sun and waves rolling into one of Florida's beaches comes to us from a friend who shared an abundance of photos of their recent 12-day holiday getaway where they visited Dunedin, Clearwater, St. Pete Beach, Treasure Island, St. Petersburg, and Tampa all for the first time. That sun, those waves, that beach, and that completely cloudless blue sky makes me want to take a walk along the beach with my shoes off. Well, it's Monday again, and the weather in upstate New York doesn't really bode well for a barefoot walks along the coast of nearby bodies of water. In fact, even in the relatively safe confines of the Hudson Valley that tends not to not get as buried as the areas to the east, west, and north, we have what seems to be 3 inches of snow on the ground at my riverfront homestead. When I saw the forecast on Friday, I had the presence of mind and good fortune to be able to use a vacation day to take the day off from work today, so I won't be rushing out the door for my regular commute, but I will have to spend some time today clearing our driveway. My upstate neighbors to the northeast and west will undoubtedly be dealing with a few more inches than me, so I feel blessed, even though I have a burden to bear. In my years of experience of dealing with situations unskillfully and being negatively affected by every passing circumstance, I was blessed by the Lord to discover His way for living that directs us to, as 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 tells us, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So even after or during a snowstorm, we are able to give thanks, rejoice, and keep communicating with God in prayer. When we stay grounded in our identity in Christ and know the reality of being set free from sin and death, we can face each new day with joy and peace instead of worry, anxiety, fear, or anger. In Christ, we have found the answers to the big questions in life, and when we abide in Him by communicating with the Lord in prayer and Bible study and by following His guidance from His Word, we have the answers to the small problems that can seem so big. The problem in America and the world at large is that the cultural and society Christianity of denominational church systems created a paradigm where clergy are the ones who study the Word of God and the laity with just the 10 worship services, resulting in a system of spiritual materialism where the laity would try to follow the rules or by trying to be good and go to church and felt no obligation to do anything more to build their knowledge of or relationship with God. And the clergy was this exalted and isolated sect who felt forced to portray an image of piety, making them more unrelatable and unapproachable to the people they were entrusted to serve. Within this system, sin and superstitious beliefs based on the traditions of men grew like wildfire, sometimes resulting in disillusionment, oppression, and abuse. Alexa, stop that. that's the go-to-work alarm. We're running a little late today, but we're not going to work. Eventually, there was a rebellion. And the societal pressure to be part of a church relaxed, resulting in nearly empty churches across America today. These systems didn't work because they didn't encourage the authentic faith of a Christian disciple who actively seeks to know God more and apply God's teaching to their lives. Or those systems unwittingly catered to the sinfulness of men who refused to attempt to truly repent, and who were content just sitting in a pew and suffering through a church service before getting back to the quote-unquote real world and their fulfilling their fleshly appetites. Arthur and Susanna Sincotti, my wife and I, did our weekly Bible study podcast on repentance yesterday. One of the listeners asked about my comment that instructed that after we sin, we are to repent. Their concern apparently was that I was saying that salvation was lost with every sin. This belief is a product of church systems or pastors that teach a mixed gospel of works and grace, when the Bible teaches that it is through faith in Christ alone that we are saved. I explain that if we have truly made Jesus our Lord and Savior, we are forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future, and we are saved, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. I was speaking on our relationship with God as His children and pointed out that God understands that we will be saints who sin, who will need to be both forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness continually as we walk out our lives as Christians. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This verse points to repentance. We aren't just to confess our sins and go on our merry way in a life of sin. We are to agree with God and turn to His way of life, of living, to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. Arthur Sincotti's outline yesterday cited several scriptures where Christ preached repentance and the injunction to go and sin no more. So there is an expectation for the Christian to grow in their faith and forsake their worldly ways. But this is not some oppressive system that wants to whip you into shape. This is your relationship with the God that loves you, forgives you continually, and encourages you to leave the darkness of sin behind, and does so for your own good. The confession of sins for the disciple of Christ is not a means of regaining the salvation that they already have. The confession of sin for Christ's disciples is to reestablish the harmony of your relationship with God and to restate the commitment to follow Him. So yes, we should repent every time we are made aware that we sin, to eliminate the sin that would condemn us and to that would leave a foothold for Satan in our lives. The Christian faith isn't supposed to be a theological system of weekly meetings that condemn you for your weaknesses. The Christian faith is supposed to be a personal, dynamic interaction between us and God, where we are drawn closer to Him because of His love for us, that will motivate us to become more like Him. To experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we're not supposed to have some anointed clergyman say a prayer for us while we stay uninvolved in the building up of our own faith, or be a matter of where we expect to receive blessings because we sat in a pew for an hour each week. To experience the peace, love, joy, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, patience, and self-control from the Holy Spirit, we are supposed to take responsibility for our relationship with God and endeavor to grow in our faith. To gain the fruit of the Spirit, we have to walk in the Spirit. For those in Christ, our salvation is a settled matter. Let's not fear losing what God has already given us. Instead, let's pursue the abundant life that Christ has already given us and that is merely waiting for us to discover. So keep walking and talking with God. If you have sin in your life, repent of it and turn to God's ways for your life, where you can rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything. Today's Bible verse comes to us from the New Living Translation Bible Promise Book for Men. This morning's meditation verse is Romans 10:9, and it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Today's verse is one of the linchpins that declare that we are saved by faith in Christ alone. We highlighted Romans 10:9 very recently to be used as a proclamation of our saved status. I directed those who doubted their Christian standing to use Romans 10:9 to examine their experience compared to the truth of this verse by reading it and asking themselves if they met God's, quote-unquote, God's requirement for salvation by asking, did I confess with my mouth that Jesus was my Lord? Do I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? If the answer to those two questions is yes, the conclusion is that you will be saved. The phrase will be saved obviously points to our ultimate entrance into God's eternal kingdom at the hour of our physical deaths or when Christ returns, whatever happens first. But don't worry about that will be saved as some uncertain destiny for other scriptures declare that Christians are saved or have been saved to cover both the past, when you made Christ your Lord and Savior, and the present. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." These verses point to the past, present, and future tense of our salvation. It is a done deal, a present reality, and will be ultimately fulfilled with our entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. But 1 Corinthians points out that we are to hold fast to the gospel of grace because there is a spiritual reality of the possibility of believing in vain, which points to false converts, those who say they believe in Christ but who fail to follow him, reminding us of possibly the two scariest passages in the Bible. Luke 13:25-27 says, the Lord says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you. Where are you from?' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.'" Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Here, Christ's words condemn false converts whose fruits are lawlessness and iniquity. These false converts tried to talk the talk of a Christian, but didn't have a heart for God, and whose fruit was either absent, as in Luke 13, or false or in vain, as in Matthew 7. So, stand on Romans 10:9 to assure yourself of your salvation. But hold on to that gospel of grace and follow the Lord so you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Christ is your Lord and Savior and that you are a child of the Most High God. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue to share from Dr. Neil Anderson's Restored, Experience Life with Jesus. Today we conclude sharing from chapter 4. And it says basically to develop an identity list. And it's about seeking, and there's a section on seeking the forgiveness of others. And there is a list of all the scriptures used in chapter 4, which would be a heck of a Bible study. So if you wanted to have a Bible study or learn about seeking the forgiveness of others and what he means by an identity list, you go to mtforchrist.org to check out that portion of the resource at the end of today's blog post. As always, I would like to also remind you that Restored is actually available for a free download at Freedom in Christ Ministries, which is FICM.org. So if you want the whole resource at once, get it. It's 8 chapters condensed with what I call truth bombs that lead you through the steps to freedom in Christ. And I just recently completed it, and it's a worthy resource, a condensed version of Neil Anderson's teachings from Victory Over the Darkness and Bondage Breaker. So I recommend it, and it's for free. Also, I recommend our Christian discipleship classes that we've done that are based on the works of Neil Anderson. We've done studies on his book, The Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and his Freedom in Christ course. They're all available on the podcast. If you just search under Freedom in Christ, Bondage Breaker, or Victory Over the Darkness, you'll be able to listen to those. And if you wanted to take a deeper step into the material, you can email me at mtforchrist247@gmail.com to receive the printed materials that went along with those classes at no charge to you via email. Also, obviously, we spoke about the Bible study, which is one of our more popular podcasts each week. If you wanted to check those out, just search for Bible Study with the Sincottis, and you'll be able to find those both on mtforchrist.org and the MT for Christ 24/7 podcast for your listening and reading pleasure. So that's that. Let me pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Thank you for the day off. We're running a little late, but we got nowhere to go except for clean up some snow. We thank you, Lord, that you blessed us with a job that allows us to have time off. And we thank you for all the blessings in our lives. And one of those blessings are the people who listen to this podcast. Lord, we pray for them today. Lord, we pray for the petitions they are praying for. That you would come alongside them and grant them the petitions they make. Also, we pray that you bless them with prosperity, provision, and protection as they go about their day. If anyone's traveling in the snow, Lord, we pray for you to be with them and guide them and protect them on so they can go to work and then make it back home. Lord, we also pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in their lives to reveal them the truth that you want them to see and to lead them in the way they should go. All these things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.